Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City. And I'm sitting here today on November 13th at the bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan in the city of New York on the island of the Earth in the middle of the solar system. What we do here on the Weekly Weather is we talk about the planets in the heavens above and how they appear to describe what's going on down here on Earth, as well as what's going on in our individual lives. And I appreciate all of you listening and all of you writing and all of you calling. And we'll do a little bit on the election, just because I think we need to do a little bit on the election at the beginning, and then we'll migrate into the weekly weather. What's happening in the sky? We've been talking about it for a while, and a lot of the stuff, I've been saying over the year, last year and a half, was you have to have your vision. You have to have your vision. What's your vision? What's your vision? And a lot of people wrote and they said, you know, I'm working on my vision, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm not too sure what my vision was. I'm trying to figure it out. And I think we now all have a clear idea of what our vision is, okay? And it's kind of an interesting, you know, that T-square was really interesting. The outlet of it, you know, we had Jupiter in Virgo, which was Bernie. We had Neptune on the south node, which was the Donald. And then we had Saturn and Sag, which was Hillary, kind of saying, okay, you know, continue the same, you know, continue the policies of the existing inner administration, just changes out, you know, change out Barack for Hillary. And the T-square shot all the energy into Gemini, you know, the empty leg. So the empty leg was, I'm a fan of the Hillary with the Gemini rising, because when the email scandal broke, it was on her moon at 29 Pisces. And, of course, Donald is a Gemini, and Pence is a Gemini. Bernie was a Virgo, so he's got that Virgo energy. And Hillary, of course, was continuing the existing structures that are in place. Now, one of the things that I'd been saying, and I kind of sometimes I said it louder and sometimes I said it softer because it would get people upset, was that Hillary would win, but she wouldn't serve. So technically, she won the popular vote by a few hundred thousand votes, but she's not going to serve because of the Electoral College, which is the wrinkle in our democracy that makes populous cities not outrule the regional rural cities. So it gives the rural people a little bit of an edge, which is that kind of big red part in the middle of the country, because the Electoral College is composed of all of your congressmen, which is your popular group, your popular democracy, and then two senators from each state, which is your checks and balances, ideally, because the Senate was designed to be checks and balances. Every state gets two people, regardless of population. And then the big states get a congressman for a certain amount of people, right? So the Electoral College is congressmen plus senators, and those are the people that actually then go. So we take the state wins, and then that state is in charge of sending its electoral delegates to the Electoral College, which all of us are getting a civics lesson. You know, if you don't remember this from when you had civics in 6th and 7th grade, this is what is happening now with people petitioning to have the Electoral College thrown away. Well, it's part of the Constitution. It ain't going anywhere. So Hillary won the popular vote. We've had this happen before. Gore won the popular vote. But Bush got put in office. Donald will be put in office. Now, the other thing I've been saying is that we have Pluto in Virgo. And we switch. When we switch the power changes. It doesn't go backwards. And we have, you know, my favorite Tony Kushner saying the world spins forward. That's what happens. So when we went from the Pluto in Cancer folks, which is a generation of Eisenhower and, you know, Roosevelt and all those guys that rebuilt the world after World War II, that was the Pluto in Cancer group. And we switched to Kennedy, and he was the first Pluto in Leo. And big hair, no hats, killed the hat industry overnight. Barack was a switch from the Pluto in Leo to the Pluto in Virgo people. And he stood in the back of the line. Now, admittedly, he's tall, so he was in the back of the line when he was a kid growing up. But you know, usually the United States president's in the front whenever they do those shots of everybody gathered together for a G summit, you know, of however many nations are there. So Brock was our first Pluto in Virgo, which means that the Pluto and Leo people are supposed to pass the power to the Pluto and Virgo folks, and those are the people born in 59 on. Hillary and Trump are both Pluto and Leo people. So by rights, now that we're in Pluto and Virgo, they shouldn't be running the place, right? Pence and Kane both are Pluto and Virgo. So we have one more pass of the Uranus-Aries, which is this topsy-turvy, kind of popping things upside down. The third pass hits March 17th. And I'm going to say here on the radio, loud and clear, I think that's when we have Pence take over the presidency, if not before, because we have to have a Pluto in Virgo. We can have a little burp of the Pluto in Leo, but we can't have a Pluto in Virgo. And they also are saying already he's going to be running the place, kind of like Cheney ran it with Bush. But, you know, we're going to have Pence. You got rid of Christie quick. You know, you look at the guy's chart. He's got an interesting chart. And, of course, he's a Gemini, the outlet edge of that T-square. Same as Hillary, same as Donald. And so we'll see what happens. But I'm saying with Uranus and Eris, it hit, when Hillary hit it, it broke the glass ceiling in June. We had Brexit. We had the voting for them to leave the EU. Now we're looking at a March 31st date for them to pull the plug on leaving the EU, for England to leave the EU. When we got to the middle, which is in September, when it's retrograde, that's when Donald's comments about grabbing people at women's parts happened. And there was this moment of, oh, well, that's going to do it. And then at that point, there was a lawsuit filed in England about leaving the EU. And so right now, we're going full steam ahead. The third and final hit of Uranus and Eris is on March. Now, that is interesting because that is the goddess of discord, right? Linking up with Uranus, the planet of chaos and change, which is why everything has been so discordant. You all have that going on somewhere in your chart. And so wherever the discord is, wherever you want to run away and join the circus or you want to turn around and punch somebody in the nose, that's the Uranus and Eris energy. So what we're going to see is we should go back to a Pluto and Virgo president, and we'll see what happens, you know, because it shouldn't be either Hillary or Donald. Now, when I said it, when people would get mad at me about, you know, well, Hillary, and I'm like, I don't want any people yelling at me. But now that it's over, she won, but she's not serving. Hey, I was right, which is okay. I'm cool with that. I didn't take into factor the Electoral College, but she had all these aspects. It was like, something's not going to work. And then, of course, Donald, he didn't expect to win. And now he's got this job, and he's kind of like looking a little like a deer in headlights, you know. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if Pence takes over. Donald goes, you know, I'm old and I'm retiring. I'm going to leave now. Bye. Or I'm going to make America great and Pence is going to run the portfolio. It's a wonderful day. So I also will say that I have had, Rose, my better half in terms of my assistant who tells me to behave myself. I was fighting with people on Facebook earlier this week. And then I had dinner with probably one of my most quiet, conservative, kind therapist friends on Friday night. And Madeline was like, we have to fight. And I'm like, wow, you never do stuff like that. And Rose was telling me, I'm not allowed to fight with anybody on Facebook anymore. I have to stop fighting and go write my book, which Rose's Pluto sits on my Saturn. So she wins. So I do apologize if I offended anybody on Facebook this week with my posts. Doesn't mean I don't think I'm right. Just mean I'm not going to be fighting with people on Facebook. And also, I reserve the right to delete everybody on Facebook that I don't like what they say because it's my wall. So I'm going to go with that policy instead of fighting with people on Facebook. So that's my resolution about how to handle this. And also, you know, as people, as women, you know, one of the things that, as a woman in the world, with a lot of lesbian and gay friends, including my younger brother, who's gay, some of my best friends, and I was one of those people that I was the first one, like, 15 people told they were gay, you know, because I'm, like, the nice friend who isn't going to judge them. So I had a lot of people tell me, you know, can I tell you something? And I'd be like, yeah, sure, what? You know, and then they say, I'm gay. And, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know, does that affect how you feel about me? I'm like, no, I'm not, unless you want to date me, I'm not interested in dating you, but we can be friends. I mean, we're friends. So I have a lot of gay friends. I don't have a lot of disabled friends, you know. I have a number of minority friends, both Latino and black, and mixed, you know, puppies, mutts, as we call ourselves. And, of course, I am a woman who does not like having my pussy grabbed by somebody who I don't know. And I think what I want to say is, and I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this in a nice way, when you work, I've worked in a lot of corporations. I've sold to a lot of corporations. Corporation behaves the way the leader of the corporation says it's okay to behave. So if they say it's competitive, it's competitive. If they say it's killer, it's killer. I work for AIG. The president of AIG used to sit and throw shit at his vice presidents because he was mad at what they said. You know, I mean, he was, you know, there's a grown man in his 40s sitting there and he's getting paper clips thrown at him by Maurice Greenberg. I've worked in sales, which is a competitive field. But I've sold into many businesses. You take on the characteristics of the leader. And I think one of the things that we need to be very clear about going forward is I'm selling to this organization of the United States. I sell astrology services. But it also is, it's my country. And I don't think that the characteristics of the person that is elected right now, and certainly if Pence takes over, totally not his characteristics. Go read his Wikipedia page on what he's voted on in Indiana. Donald's a Gemini. You know, he's a salesman. So maybe he didn't mean it. Maybe he did. The fact is he said it, and a lot of people believed he meant it. So they think it's okay to behave badly. And I'm going unnoticed right now and saying, you know what? You behave badly around me. I'm pulling out my Pluto, and I'm saying, sit down, stop it. Behave yourself. And for those who said, oh, he didn't mean it, it's kind of like when you date somebody and they tell you they have commitment issues right on the first date, they have commitment issues. If they tell you that they really, you know, their wife was really horrible to them and gave away their dog, you should think, gee, his wife gave away his dog. She must have been really mad at him. Because she was. She gave away the dog. Right? You know, people tell you who they are. Believe them when they tell you. Our job now is to go forward and say, this is not who we are when we're badly behaved. And this is who we are when we're better behaved. And we need to be better behaved. We need to be kind. So, and that's all I'm going to say. We're going to go on to the weekly weather. I will say that this week is big for a couple of reasons. Because Neptune stations, and we know when these outer planets stop, it is kind of a little bit of a kind of energy. And Neptune is hanging on by the south node. Okay, so he's hanging on the south node, about to go down the drain. And, of course, you know, the planets hit the nodes every 19 years or so. The node comes along and zaps the planet. So there's a releasing energy around 9-10 of the mutable signs where the node and Neptune are now. But what happens when the planet stations is we feel it for the 5 days. So it stations next week, and so we're going to feel the Neptune station. It stations on the 19th, so we're going to feel the Neptune station starting on the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th through the 23rd, the week after. So we have a lot of energy there around that Neptune. Also, Jupiter and Pluto are building to a square. Jupiter is expansion, Pluto is control. We also have a full moon on the 14th at 22 of Taurus. Now, those of you who've been paying attention to the heavens know, Saturn stationed at 22-23 Taurus twice. That was in 15. Mars hit it a couple times last year, February, the last week in June. Wow. Mercury stationed on it in April, 23 Taurus. There's an eclipse been on it, and now we're going to have a full moon on it, and we're going back to May of 15 when the new moon happened. So this is a hot degree. If you have anything at 23 in your chart, it's a very, very hot degree. And your job is to know we have the full moon now, which culminates the story from May of 15, and then we go 11 months forward until we get to February, when Mars was on this point, of 16, and then we go another 10 months forward till we get to now November, when we have the full moon. And then we're going to go 10 months till Leo next year, until the Leo time, the end of Leo, in August of 17. So this hot degree is active again, and the culmination full moon helps you see it. The other thing that's happening is Saturn is in Sagittarius. He is going to go forward pretty quickly now. He's going to clear his shadow in the next couple weeks, and he's going to go forward up into the 20s of Sag, where he's going to trine Uranus. So we are going to have, starting in January-ish, end of December, beginning of January, we're going to have a trine in fire between Saturn and Sag and Uranus and Aries. And Uranus, of course, is hanging out with Eris, the little troublemaker that she is over there in Aries. So that is the image of candles being lit by matches. Uranus and Aries is matches. Saturn and Sag is candles. So light the candle, light the match, light the match, light the candle, light the match, light the candle. If you have Leo planets in the 20s, they're going to get pulled into a grand trine in fire. I happen to have a couple there. So my Pluto's going to be in that mix. Whatever your planets are in Leo will be in there. And that can be by progression or by solar arc, too. Just kind of think with Leo. But just think grand trine in fire or trine in fire. Very passionate trine in fire. And Sagittarius is the other, and Saturn is the sign of restriction. So it's restriction of the other. So we want to kind of watch that because it's getting the trine from Uranus, very fast-moving, speedy trines, right? So I know in my case, I was thinking about this energy coming up in the next couple of years because it really actually is our Pluto return starting a little early as a country. I had thought we would have, like, you know, difficulty, but I didn't think it would be, I didn't think it would be this soon. I thought it was going to be in 2020 or a little further down, but it seems to be now. So we have to kind of get ready. We have to pay attention and say, let's get ready. So I know I'm on a diet, going to lose some weight, going to take some Krav Maga and learn how to kill people with my hands. I'm going to go get a gun and learn how to shoot people with a gun. That's my plan for 2017, in addition to writing the book and not fighting on Facebook with people. You have to have a plan, too. You have to have a vision of how you want to work that energy and what you want that energy to be, because we are heading into the revolution. Now, in 1776, we said to England, stuff it, we're out of here. We're leaving. And that was okay. We fought a war, the Revolutionary War, yada, yada. But now we're having an interior revolution. That's what France had with the guillotine. Shortly after the American Revolution, the French Revolution happened. All those people getting their heads cut off in the streets and stuff, in the square where the Louvre is. So we're heading into that time because it's the country divided against itself. And we had this in the Civil War. Lincoln said a country divided against itself cannot stand. And we're having it now, as evidenced by the Facebook posts and the thousands of people protesting in the streets. It's interesting times we live in. So you want to think about your vision of how you're going to build your best life, part one, and then part two, what you're going to do to prepare for what's coming, right? And that's your job. And I've been saying vision, vision, vision. Well, it got clarified this last couple of weeks. Whatever it was, it got clarified. Aspects are clarifying it. The energy is clarifying. We're really in a time of change. So our job is to go, woohoo, let's change that energy and let's rock and roll. So let's go and do our new moons. So we have the full moon, of course, on Monday. Get your moon paper out. I know I didn't give you enough warning on that. I switched and I went, oh, my God, I'm running out of time. So there's a new moon on Monday, and it's void all day. The new moon happens at 8:52 in the morning, and it's void all day, and then it goes into Gemini. The moon goes into Gemini at 8:23 p.m. Monday night. So the closing aspect of the sun and the moon this weekend is a separating aspect. Then it's in Gemini Monday night, all day Tuesday, Wednesday through 5:57 when it's a sextile to Uranus. Moon is void all day Tuesday until 7:57 p.m. Goes into Cancer Wednesday night, in Cancer Thursday, in Cancer Friday all day till 5 o'clock, 5:02 p.m. when it goes void. Moon in Cancer trine Sun in Scorpio. It's void Friday night until 10:14 p.m. when it goes into Leo. It's in Leo on the 19th, on the 20th, and it goes void at 3:33 in the morning on Monday, the 21st, with a square to the Sun. Moon in Leo, square the Sun in Scorpio. Closing aspects this week, a lot of aspects of, you know, last week was a very contentious week, lots of squares. Lots of arguments, lots of fights. We had three planets changing signs, which, of course, gives the sky a whole different energy. This week, aside from Monday when the moon is void, Tuesday has a lot of really positive aspects, the 15th. Wednesday has none. The moon's void again. Thursday has a lot of positive aspects, except late at night, little sad Thursday night, the 17th. And then the weekend has nice aspects. We have the Neptune station, so we're going to be very, very emotional. We're having Neptune getting ready to dive into the South Node, getting ready to release, a lot of energy going. And then, of course, the Sun is in the last degrees of Scorpio. So the Sun in the last degrees of Scorpio is in the Cancer decan. It's running from 21 Scorpio to 28 Scorpio this week. And so that's the highly sensitive section of Scorpio. That's also the healing section of Scorpio. So last week was the ocean section of Scorpio, so we all felt a little adrift and a little bereft or emotional, or we were aware of other people being emotional if we were happy because our candidate won. And I realize there are some of you out there that are Trump supporters, and I'll be nice. I'm not going to fight with you on my radio show either. The Sun is going to be in conjunct Uranus today, the 13th, and it's kind of an adjusting energy. Tomorrow, on the 14th, the Sun is going to be in conjunct Eris, which is saying, okay, this is the plan, and that's at 22, right as the new moon, the full moon forms, okay? So it's an adusting energy with a little kick of anger from Eris. Sun is also going to be in conjunct Ceres at 23 Aries, which is next to Eris. So that's the fiery female, the fiery mothers. We also have the Sun contraparallel Vesta on the 16th, which is an adjustment around the home and hearth. And we have the Sun parallel Mars on the 20th, which is about taking action. Sun's rather quiescent this week. At the end of the week, on the 18th and the 20th, the Sun does have a biquintile aspect to Uranus and Ceres, suggesting that the Sun, the ego, the purpose, is going to come up with a new way of working with this fiery, passionate stuff. And I always hearken back, when I'm really pissed off, to my friend Maria, who says, take the energy and transform it. It's energy. You can use it. You know, I don't know quite how I want to do that right now, but recognize when you're running this much anger, do not, if you're running anger, of course you might be happy, if you're running anger, do not let it go inside and fester. No, that's how we get depressed. I want you taking that anger and getting it out of you. You have to go punch something, hit something, take a karate class, go jog, go something. I want it out of you. I don't want it in you. Mercury is in Sag, runs from 1 Sag to 12 Sag. And so Sag, of course, he's very direct and straightforward, says what he thinks what he says. He meets up with marriage partnering and connection on the 14th, so it says let's connect and do this. He has a really nice aspect to Mars on the 15th, saying, okay, this is the plan, this is where we're going. And he also somehow works around cleaning out the house and home on the 15th and kind of getting everything all set up and nice. So that's a nice aspect, that 15th, around Mercury kind of saying, well, you know, we could do it this way, we could do it that way. Mercury also has a sesquiquadrate to both Uranus and Eris on the 16th and the 17th. What a sesquiquadrate is it's stress around things. It's a square and a semi-square, right? And so it's stressful energy. You feel a little stressful, and then you take action, and you feel better. So Mercury's aspect to Uranus and Eris, you know, when someone said, I don't come here for your politics, I come here for your astrology, I was like, you bitch. Excuse my French. Sorry, Larry and Emily. You know, I was like, whoa, and sorry, Jane, too. Sorry, Jane and Raymond. I was like, you know, the astrology's freely offered. You know, don't go picking on me. I'm going to bite you. Okay, so that's an energy of growling, all right? And there was a time when I had a coworker who hated our boss, and he would growl. He would just growl. The boss would do something, and he would just go, and, you know, and you'd be sitting next to him in the meeting, right, and you'd start to laugh because he's growling under his breath. But one day, it was one of those moments where everything's kind of quiet, you know, and it, you know how, like, the room just gets quiet suddenly and nobody knows that why it goes quiet like that? And he growled at that moment, of course, so it was a very loud growl because the room was completely silent. And everybody turned and looked at him. And, of course, I was, like, ready to wet myself. I was laughing so hard. And he kind of went, indigestion. You know? So watch if you're in the mood to growl this week, because you may very well feel a little coming in on the 16th and the 17th. Mercury squares the nose of fate on the 18th, offering you a nice choice and perhaps bringing you a person, or maybe saying to someone, okay, got to go now, got to leave. And Mercury also squares Neptune on the 18th. And that's at 9 Pisces. Now, remember, Neptune is stationing, right? So he's about to go in another direction. He's about to change direction. So Mercury squaring in Neptune, the 18th, 19th, 20th, can be very, very emotional because Mercury, the mind, is really squaring these things and going, oh, my, oh, my. Venus goes from 1 cap. She's in Capricorn. She switched last week. To 10 cap, and she's going pretty fast right now because she's going more than a degree a day. She doesn't have a whole lot of stuff at the beginning of the week, but when we get to the back of the week, she has a nice aspect of connection on the 19th where she meets people or she comes up with some new project that she wants to work on, and it's in Capricorn, so she's really solid, reliable, and dependable. She gets a little blindsided on Wednesday. Because Mars and her are kind of in a weird position, so something can really set her off and make her angry. But then when she sits down and thinks about it or talks about it with Pallas Athena, her wise friend, or you sit down and talk about it with the wise friend on the 17th, you actually come to see how that's a good thing. And then she has a lot of energy going forward. Now, Mars this week is, you know, he's starting to pick up a little speed. He's in Aquarius because he changed last week too. So he has a biquintile on the 14th, on Monday, where he's going to be given some new good news and some new ideas about how to do things. He leaves home on the 15th and says, this is what I'm going to do. He has a little bit of an argument with how he's going to proceed on the 16th, what his tactic should be. And then towards the back of the week, he says, you know what? I'm not going to erupt anymore. I'm not going to end things. I'm just going to come up with a new approach. Now, Mars in Aquarius is a very interesting Mars because it has a lot to do with how we move forward. Jupiter is quiet this week, does have the quintile aspect on the 20th where she's going to make some connections. Saturn parallels Pluto on the 20th, so the weekend's a little tough around seeing the new structures and figuring out how to work with them. And then, of course, Uranus hits the node of fate on the 17th. Stuff goes down the drain that day. We're really releasing all this energy, big emotional day. It is a void moon, lots of stuff. And then Neptune stations to go direct on the 19th. So he kind of is parked right there on that moon and right there on the node of fate. So he's going into the south node this week. So there is a big release and a big loss and a big shift and a change. And then we also have Ceres connecting with Eris, the goddess of discord, on the 17th, on Wednesday, Thursday, the 17th, a lot of discord. So just kind of know that middle part of the week, it can be a little harder. You're going to be a little more in the mood to fight with people or, you know, be crabby. But just kind of ride with it. And then, of course, the weekend with the square can be a little stressed too. So on that note, that's the weekly weather. And we have officially entered our Pluto return. And off we go. I'm also going to be speaking next week on the 23rd on Dr. Christiane Northrup's radio show, Flourish. We're going to be talking about astrology on her radio show on Hay House. And I wish you a lovely full moon tomorrow. And I wish you a lovely week as we all figure out and clarify our own personal vision and how we're going to live it. And on that note, this is Ann Ortley signing off from my bright red desk, wishing you a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.